In this episode of Tim Talk, our guest shares what it's like to live and work in a place with a different culture and language.
Thank you for joining us for Tim Talk. I'm Tim Dentry, President and CEO of Northern Light Health. By now, you know that Tim Talk is a place where we embrace diversity, equity, and inclusion by creating understanding through dialogue. I'm fortunate to have a guest today to help us have a meaningful dialogue about international workers and what they experience. Dr. Maxim Lajkovic is an oncologist at Northern Light AR Gold Hospital. He completed his medical schooling in Belarus and subsequently completed training in Ottawa, Canada. He later moved to Brooklyn, New York, where he completed his residency and fellowship in hematology and oncology. His wife, who is also fulfilling her waiver position requirements, is an internal medicine specialist working in Arkansas. By the way, we look forward to her joining us in the Aroostook County one day soon, hopefully. Dr. Lajkovic, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me here, and I'm really happy to share my experience of being here, my first steps in the new area.
Absolutely. That's so wonderful. We're so happy you joined us. For our discussion today, I'd like to highlight for our audience the growing importance of cross-cultural teamwork in the workplace. I know from your work experience, I am sure you have tremendous experiences along those lines. And for my listeners, when I say cross-cultural teamwork, I think of our ability to work together with colleagues of all different backgrounds and to understand people from different cultures and engage with them respectfully toward a common goal, providing the best care possible. That's what I think of. That's what we want to get your thoughts on. So to start the conversation, Dr. Lajkovic, here in the county, now that you're with us here in Aroostook County, great place, can you share what it has been like to adapt to a new cultural environment as well as a physical environment? And I'm especially interested in hearing about your different cultural experiences, your home in Belarus, then Ottawa, then Brooklyn, and now the county. Saving the best for last, maybe. What that was like and how they've impacted you, how you've grown.
Yeah, that's a good, interesting question. Moving from Belarus to Canada, that was a little bit more stressful to adapt. But here locally, what I found, it reminds me my home country in a way that people are more more kind of close to the same behavior like I used to have back in Belarus. And I think it is more not cross-cultural, but more with, it comes towards the community and the size of the community. I grew up in a village, in a small town, basically village, small town, and that makes a difference. People in small communities are different from large cities. That is my thought about this, how I think about this process. Moving into large city, that is a challenge. People are more kind of individualistic in a city. They don't really think a lot about others. I cannot kind of say don't think a lot, but they prioritize their own life, I would say this way. And that is nice way to have in a city because you have a lot of options, other options for yourself, for help. Let's say you want to go somewhere, your car is issued with a car, you just dial for the taxi, do Uber, and you anywhere you want. If you're in small community, that's a different lifestyle. You depend on others. And people realize that, and they are more proactive. When I came here, I was nicely surprised by this, how people are proactive. Like in my department, my manager, all weekend is coming. Do you know where to go? Do you know where is the market here? Do you know where the local stores? In large city, I have to ask. Nobody will be proactive. Nobody will tell me unless I ask. And that is another way to deal with a lifestyle. But in small communities, people are proactive. They want to see you comfortable. That is the nice place for me. I feel more comfortable here compared to Ottawa and Brooklyn. That's, I think, the big difference and the big advantage for people like myself who used to live in such places. I don't blame others who grew up in large cities. They like their style and they're more individualistic, and that is fine. But you have to be grown in that way. That is the major advantage what I found here. So my pathway was kind of challenging, but at the end of the day, my pathway where I am now, I'm pretty much comfortable and I like this. I have more examples. I had an issue with my car when I went to mechanic store. I left my car and I'm waiting. I called the taxi, then I Google it. I am new, I don't know anywhere what to do. I Googled and I'm calling those numbers, first numbers. Yes, we are fine, we are coming. I'm waiting 15 minutes, nobody's coming. Half an hour, nobody's coming. An hour, I'm standing outside on the roadside, an hour. And something is wrong. And I see the wife of the mechanic, she's just passing by, she stopped. I did not ask to stop. I did not raise my thumb up. She just stops. What's wrong? People are proactive. May give you a lift, like may ride you home. I'm like, yes, yeah, sure. And then that was so new for me. When you don't need to ask people help without asking. They see if you need help or not. And that is a huge difference. I'm so so thankful for them, and I really feel more peaceful, more comfortable in such communities. Neighbors, the same like with my neighbors. They're very helpful. They just step nearby and they just come and say, "Oh, hello, we are your neighbors. If you need something, let us know. We are here. If you go somewhere, we'll take care of your property. We'll help you." And that comes because they know when they go outside. So somebody needs, you know, to help. You don't need to ask. They come and offer. That is a difference. And I'm not sure I wanted. I've never talked about that in the past my colleagues because we are so busy. Don't have time to talk about this. But that's what I realized, and I actually wanted to share with others and just ask them, what is your experience for those who grew up in large cities? I want to just compare. That's what I got from this kind of talk when I was offered to talk about this cross-cultural and communications. I did not think about it until I got here in Presque Isle. That's the difference. Another colleagues also here, like one of the doctors. Okay, they told, "Do you know where do they sell the best kind of like food, my seafood here?" I mean, "No, I don't." "Okay, I'll show you." And people show. They go and they show. That is that's important. I think that kind of support which we need. Especially people like me who do not know anyone in this area. I don't have parents, I don't have siblings, I don't have my relatives in this area at all. And the only people whom I deal with, that's my coworkers basically, initially. Later on neighbors, and that's all. And they become my relatives. I cannot rely on anyone else. And that is so helpful.
Yeah. Well, as a seafood lover, I especially loved your last example, but you know, you really resonated with something that's a theme of all that we're trying to do in Northern Light, and that is, as you describe those situations, and that's amazing, the wife of the mechanics stopped and took, as you said, took the initiative. But it was how it made you feel. What you said was it made you feel comfortable. It made you feel thankful. Not only that example, but all these examples that you gave. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's a famous Maya Angelou quote that I have quoted on these podcasts frequently, and that is, people will forget what you did, they'll forget what you said, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And that's at the heart of our culture of caring that we're trying to make sure we nurture and build. And you're absolutely right. The communities, you know, and Presque Isle is this way, that everyone depends on each other and you do that proactively. The way you said that, I hadn't thought of the word proactive. In people working together and staying together and hanging with each other, you know. But that's very, very true. Without that, you know, kind of initiative, then we miss opportunities. But no opportunities have been missed, for example, in this current 2020-2021 COVID pandemic. Presque Isle, the ingenuity and creativity and can-do spirit and working together, it's been a sight to behold. It's been wonderful. And it's an example of that. And you've given very personal examples as someone coming from away, just as I came from away, not as far away as you, but also multiple steps to get here. And here we are, and we love it, you know, here in Maine and here in Northern Lights. So I really thank you for that. Now, let me ask you, what can you tell us about any new but unfamiliar, let's say, situations, different social customs or communications, kinds of things? I sometimes find fun and humor in it, but sometimes people do not find it fun or humorous. It actually can be a little difficult, a little unnerving for some people, but that you have experienced and how have you been able to address them? You know, your perception of equal treatment as an individual. You know, you talked about Brooklyn and Ottawa as, you know, individualistic dominated. And I think that's very true in so many parts of our country here in America, that's for sure. But I'm just wondering how, at the same time, what you come with as an individual, how has that been perceived? What are people reflecting back to you as you express your individuality?
Here I found that people are very nice and very polite, and sometimes I even want them to say that I do things wrong. I mean wrong, or they don't understand what I mean. In average, if you compare, like in average, everything is quite similar to what I've experienced in the past. But I'll give example what I mean. I'm international. I have an accent. I work in Ottawa. I worked in Brooklyn. And if people don't understand me, they say, "He is different." Patients are so polite that even if they don't understand me, they don't say. I realized it only later on. And when they come, they say then to the nurse nicely, "Oh, could you come with me in the room?" Something like that. After that, I started to try to speak slowly and ask, "Do you understand what I mean? Please tell me. Do you understand? Please tell me what do you think about that?" And after that, they are fine. So that is something that I found here. That is slightly different, but now I know how to deal with that, and the patients are happy with that. Yeah, they're just nice. They don't wanna kind of upset me probably. And is the challenge. That was a challenge for me, in a kind of nice way. I realized how nice are they, that they so appreciate that we come here to help them, that they don't even want to ask additional questions. And I'm working on that with my patients, so we are getting better.
Wow, I'm working on that with my patients. And, you know, I was going to ask you how, you know, the cultural differences from which, you know, you come from as compared to most of the patients that you serve. I was going to ask you how that affects your thinking, behavior, and interactions. And that's a great example, what you just said. And I'm working on that the way you just concluded your thoughts. That's what we want everyone to do. That's what we want all people in Northern Light, you know, to do with colleagues, with patients that we serve, out in the community, and that kind of a thing is, you know, work on relationships, work on making sure that we're connecting as closely and deeply, and not let these, you know, human-made barriers get in the way, or acknowledging that barriers might be there, and doing something about it. You know, at Northern Light, culture matters. And we nurture a culture of caring that starts with caring for one another, and we embrace a culture of quality. Culture and our values bring us together around a common cause, purpose, and mission. And we also know that culture, in a broader sense, across our national divide here, can be divisive, exclusive rather than inclusive, and hurtful to people. And that's why I'm so happy, you know, to hear your reflection on how you're bringing inclusiveness and togetherness and a real positive kind of force to healthcare that we have here. So I'm just so happy that you're our guest today. I'm so happy that you're with us here in Presque Isle and with Northern Light. And I can't wait for you to spend many, many years here and for your wife to join us when she's finished with her obligations as well. So what other thoughts, though? I want to ask you one other question in a minute, but what are the thoughts, what are your reflections of what I just shared with you?
That is what I see, like you've told, that culture is important for us. I think culture is important for everyone, but not everyone pays attention on how to improve and help with cross-cultural issues. And I see that this is the first place where I see when you, like a team, try to do something with that. Because when I came to New York, yes, people, we get those emails, yes, cross-cultural communication. But in real life, nobody talks about that. It just there somewhere. But maybe because people are busy, I don't know. I don't blame them. But this is probably the first place where we are trying to help with that, where we are trying to address that, and that is different and that is important. And I'm really thankful for that. As I've said, this reminds me my hometown. And that's why my wife also wants to come, and we wanna be in our peaceful, you know, kind of atmosphere. That's what we wanna be, and that is the jobs which we are looking for. It is not only about just serving the population, but in addition to that, we wanna do that with some passion and feel that they want that, you know, the people want that. In New York, in Brooklyn, I did not have the same feeling. I did my best, I want to help, but not, patients are different and people are different. And I did not have such passion for that, yeah.
Wow. Well, that's great. So that what I just heard you say, again, the way that you state this and describe how you feel and then how you conclude some of your thoughts here really have moved me, such as what you just concluded with. And that is, you know, the difference between the two settings has a huge difference on your passion that you bring to your work and to your life. We all need to really reflect on what is the source of our passion. Am I living passionately? And if not, what is it, you know, about life or the way I approach it, my philosophy, what have you? Because there's many people, I think, that face challenges to be able to live their life, you know, in that kind of a passionate, dedicated way. And to hear that if those kinds of life aspects, not just work aspects, you know, work being part of life, are just right, it makes a big difference on the passion that you exude. And I'm very happy to hear you put it that way.
Thank you. We are really thankful for that and for the people who work here, who make our life easier to do our things. I'm really thankful for patients who are so nice and encouraging. And I'm really happy for that. And thank you all for having me here and allowing me to join your team. I'm really thankful.
That's wonderful. Now, that's the topic, but I did have one other question, because as you and I were getting ready to record this for our listeners, we were talking about, yes, the current stage of the COVID pandemic. And you experienced the initial surge probably a year and a half ago in Brooklyn, right? And so as an oncologist, you saw what the impact of COVID had on access to care and then people's disease process being, you know, more advanced by the time you saw them and that kind of a thing. So just your perspective as a physician, as an oncologist, and what this means so that our listeners can really learn from that, and hopefully they can share with loved ones, share with other people in the community, and reflect them on themselves on how can I make sure that I'm not taking my eye off of the care that we really need to deliver so that more advanced disease processes don't happen. Your thoughts on all that, please.
So from my experience in New York during first COVID wave, which happened April, May 2020. How I see that, what maybe might be done better or what we can improve. First, I want to share what happened. During the COVID wave, all resources were focused on patients with COVID. And we know that we have a particular amount of resources, and we have huge rise on one condition only, which was COVID. Other physicians, nurses, healthcare workers were kind of switched to that area, were moved to another area. But at the same time, the amount of patients with regular conditions, high blood pressure, cholecystitis, any other condition, or cancers especially, it stayed the same. And by moving our resources to take care of COVID patients, we decreased the resources for other patients. And that was a huge concern. Yes, I agree that many cases can be postponed, but in cancer, it is quite challenging. With progression of the cancer, we might not talk about curative options, and we can talk only about palliation. Palliation that is just maintain surveillance for particular amount of time, months, years, but we are not talking about cure. That is huge difference. That's why I think we need to, from both sides, from the doctor side, I mean from medical side and from community side, be aware about that and do our best to prevent. What do I mean particularly? Let's say every case should be individualized. I agree that some of the cancers we can wait for the month and they should be fine. But some of them aggressive. Those we still need to discuss and try to feed them with our care to do everything now. We cannot wait. because that patient will live the whole normal life if we'll take care of now. From community side, people also need to aware and to think not only about themselves, but about others. If we will do vaccinations, if we'll wear masks, if we'll do social distancing, that helps. And that helps not to ourselves, that helps to others. Let's say I go to the store, I wear mask not to myself, but to protect others. That's how we need to think about that. Wonderful. And that should help.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for sharing that perspective. I thought it was perfect timing, that's for sure. So, Dr. Lekovich, I appreciate you. I appreciate you sharing your perspectives with me and with our podcast listeners as well.
Thank you so much for having me here, and I really appreciate this talk. I really enjoyed it, and I hopefully all of us will learn something from that, and I hope that we'll continue to work on improvement of our within the hospital, within our system communication, and within the community, because the final goal is to take care of community and to take care of ourselves, basically, because we are the part of the community. So hopefully that will be helpful.
So true. And I think it is helpful, and I've enjoyed it as well. And thank you to our listeners. Until next time, I'm Tim Dentry, encouraging you to listen and act to promote our culture of caring, diversity, and inclusion that starts with caring for one another.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Tim Talk. If you enjoyed this podcast, please join us next month for a new episode. And know that there are several ways you can tune into Tim Talk. You will find new episodes on our website at northernlighthealth.org/podcast. We are also on Google, Apple, and Podbean, which makes it easier for you to listen on the go on your favorite app.